I invite you to pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for this beautiful time of worship that we've already had together as a church. We thank you for your presence amongst us. Father God, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for communion this morning, may you speak into each one of our lives. May you show us, Lord God, the importance and significance of what it is that we're doing together this morning as we receive communion together. May we perhaps have a different perspective of what it is that we're doing, or a different view of it, or a different thought process as a result of our time together this morning. Pray this in your name. Amen. First of all, just a big thank you to our church family. As you know, Rachel's uncle passed away last week, and we got many cards and many emails and text messages, and just thank you guys for your love and your support and your care. I thank Spencer personally. I have to thank Spencer publicly, personally. You don't know probably what it's like to get a phone call and say, hey, in like 5 days, do you mind preaching a message on Sunday when you have a full-time job and doing other things as well? And he jumped right up at the opportunity and did just an excellent job of speaking again. So thank you, Spencer, for that. These next weeks are some exciting weeks, in my opinion. Today we're doing Holy Communion together, which is always a wonderful time of worship together. Next Sunday, you don't want to miss, cancel your vacations, whatever you got going on. We're baptizing, I think, like 8 or 9 people next Sunday. So that's going to be just a wonderful time of celebration. Next month, we have membership Sunday coming in to next month. So lots of fun, exciting things happening. And we just encourage you to be a part of those things. But today we're talking about this idea of the sacrament of Holy Communion. And for us as believers, as followers of Jesus, it's not something that we should take lightly, what we're doing this morning. Like, it's not something we just should just go through the motions of when we come to the table and receive communion. That you'll notice that very seldom, if ever, and I don't like to use the word ever, I've never done this or that, because I don't want to be caught in that trap, but very seldom, if ever, have I ever served communion without teaching on communion first. Because I think it's important that we get our minds in the right frame before we come to the table and receive this together. Communion is a sacrament that is instructed by Jesus, and we need to take it seriously. This morning, before we come to the table to receive communion together, I think it may be good for us if we examine just how we approach communion. Maybe we'll walk out of here today with a little bit of a different or a fresh perspective on communion, or maybe it'll reinforce some of the perspectives that you've already held onto for many years in your life. But this morning we're going to look at kind of 3 different directions in which we can look at communion, and they're all going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23. So if you're using one of the church Bibles, it's going to be page 812. Page 812. And you'll find those Bibles under the chair in front of you. So this is a passage that I have taught from many times as we've come to a time of communion. But we're going to kind of try to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective this morning than I have taught before. So starting at verse 23, and we're just going to kind of walk through these 9 verses and just teach through sections of them as we go. So we're going to start at verse 23 and read through verse 25 to start. And it goes like this. It says, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I'm going to suggest that as we prepare for communion, that one of the ways that we look in preparation is we look backwards. Okay, so we find in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Looking back. Communion is a time of remembrance of a couple different things, really. First, I think it's a reminder that God has always been there to deliver his people. Even before the Passover that Jesus was celebrating and about to fulfill, in this passage that we just read, right? Like, Adam and Eve had to have the blood of an animal spilled out to provide skins to cover their sin and shame. Noah and his family were delivered during God's judgment on earth. The Hebrews, of course, were delivered out of bondage and slavery during the first Passover when God's angels passed over those who had the blood of the lamb, of the goat, on their door frames. And there have been other times when God delivered his people, all looking forward to the day when Jesus would bring the ultimate deliverance by shedding his blood on the cross for you and I, which we just celebrated 2 weeks ago. And the second thing I think that we look back at to remember is God's ultimate deliverance from sin and its penalty, as well as its power over us if we choose to live in him. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, right? What we talked about, what we gathered for up on the hill of sunrise service, right? We talked about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Because of what he did on the cross, the death, we no longer have to be slaves to sin. Because of the new covenant of life that he brought, we can break the chains that hold us slaves to sin. When we share in communion, we proclaim not just his death, but everything his death brought. Salvation, cleansing of sin, the breaking of sin's power over us, the promise of eternal life when we die, and the promise of a full life on earth while we live. Communion is a time for us to look backwards and to say, thank you, Lord. Right? Thank you, Lord. So that's verse 23 through 25. We pick up in verse 26, and it tells us another direction that we look as we come to the communion table. It says, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This verse tells us that communion is a time for us to look forward. Right? You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The scriptures say that Jesus is coming back someday. Not just this passage, but there's many passages that say that, and Jesus himself says that. He's going to come back to judge all peoples. He's going to establish his kingdom once and for all. He's going to be established as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to celebrate a sweet communion with us all as well. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus said, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When that time comes, we'll be in the presence of God, away from the trauma, away from the turmoil and the troubles of this earth. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and what he did 3 days later, we face an eternity beyond our imagination in terms of how wonderful and perfect it will be. I'd be willing to guess that even for you perfectionists, that you have no idea how wonderful and perfect it's going to be. So when we take communion, yeah, we look back. We thank God. We look forward to sharing it with Jesus someday. Communion is a time for us to look forward and to say, come soon, Lord. And then we continue in our passage. We pick up in verse 27. And we go to verse 27 through 32 to get kind of the last direction with which we should look as we come to take communion this morning. Starting in verse 27, it says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks the judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So any guesses on the third direction that we look as we come to the table this morning after reading that? Inward, yeah. Look inward. We look forward, we look backwards, we look inward. Communion is to be celebrated carefully and entered into with spiritual readiness. We can't rush into it without thinking about and reflecting on its meaning. When we rush into it like that, we're treating the symbols of Christ's sacrifice irreverently. And while there's nothing particularly special about the little square piece of bread and grape juice, we need to keep in mind that these symbols represent something very real. Jesus' sacrifice. When we don't, we become guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. The very nature of communion calls for introspection, for us to look at ourselves, to look inward. We're told to examine ourselves. No one should take communion who has not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. Neither should they take communion and come to the table if they're angry with others, or if they have known unrepented sin in their lives. Coming to the table in an unworthy manner means to come without a solemn understanding of what is being remembered, and without a repentant and humble spirit before the Lord. As I said at the very beginning of our time, communion is a serious practice. It's a serious practice. We need to realize the Lord's Supper is not to be taken lightly. This new covenant cost Jesus his life. It's not some meaningless ritual, but a sacrament given by Christ to help strengthen believers' faith. Communion is a time to look inward and say, cleanse me, Lord. So we come to communion with a few things to think about this morning. Maybe you've never really thought of communion in any of these ways before, or you've never really allowed the occasion to force you to look backward and forward and inward, or at least maybe not in an intentional way. So today, I just want to invite you to take one of these ways, backward, forward, inward, and focus on that as we move into our time of receiving communion together. Some of you should look back. Should look back in gratitude for the sacrifice that we symbolize during this time. Intentionally thanking Jesus for the price that he paid for your forgiveness to give you a home in heaven. Some should look forward and take communion with a sense of anticipation to that day when you will share it with Jesus himself in the Father's kingdom. If that's you, I pray that joy of that thought will linger for a long, long time for you today. And some will need to spend some time looking inward this morning as we come to the table, asking the Lord to reveal anything in your life that needs to be repented of. Maybe it's something that you knew was sin, but you've tried to convince yourself that it's not a big deal. But you know it's sin and you need to repent of it. It could be that you're holding a grudge against somebody and you've allowed it to grow into bitterness. Scripture says we're supposed to get rid of that before we come to the table. Today would be a good day to do that. Maybe you put yourself and your agenda ahead of Christ and his agenda. You decided that you and your preferences are more important than the peace and unity of the church. The Bible calls that sin. And it needs to be repented of before coming to the table. Maybe it's just an attitude. You don't feel like you need to follow Jesus in spite of his love and his sacrifice. In any case, can you be brave enough this morning, if you fall into this third category of looking inward, to pray the prayer that the psalmist in 139 wrote, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in that everlasting." And if he brings something to mind, confess it, sin, and accept his forgiveness for it. Then as you approach the table in communion, we're all doing it in a worthy manner this morning. My prayer is, my hope is that as a church that we are a people who take this sacrament of communion seriously, with joy, but with humility and godly sorrow for our sins, which caused Christ to have to die on the cross on our behalf. And we've talked a fair amount about how we approach the table this morning. But just for a moment, I want to address who's qualified to take communion, to receive communion. Communion is for those who are believers in Jesus Christ and at peace with others as much as it depends on you. In other words, if you've accepted for yourself what Jesus did on the cross on your behalf and have done all that you can to have a good relationship with those around you, you are welcome to share with us in communion. You don't have to be a member of the Brethren in Christ Church or Fairland Church. You don't have to attend here regularly. You might be visiting for the first time today. You are welcome if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Simply need to be a believer and a follower of Jesus who is in good relationship with others. Parents, You know your kids, right? If your children have put their faith in Christ and you think that they have a good grasp on what communion is all about, we encourage you as their parents to take communion with them, to walk with them through that. In just a minute, I'll open the table. The way we'll do it this morning is we'll start from the front and you'll just come from the insides. You'll come up, take it, and go back around to your seats. And then once you're seated, I encourage you to spend a moment in prayer with God. And as you're ready, you can eat the bread. As you're ready, you can drink the cup. And then we'll come together with our closing song after that. But before I open the table, I just want to pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come to this moment in our service where we take this sacrament, where we take the bread, we take the cup, the representation of your body bruised and killed for our lives, for our sins, for our eternity. May we be a people that look backwards. Some in here will do that today. They'll look backwards and they'll thank you for that sacrifice. They'll thank you for your willingness to pay that price on our behalf. Others in here this morning, it might be a new idea to be looking forward as they come to the table and thinking of someday taking this in your presence, Lord God. Wow, what a moment that will be. And yet others, Lord God, are going to be inward focused today. Your scripture tells us to do that. And their prayer might be as simple as, cleanse me, God. It might be that prayer that comes from Psalm 139, search me, God. Know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts. If there's anything offensive in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. Lord God, as each person comes, whether they're focused backward, forward, inward, may it be a meaningful moment in your presence as they receive communion this morning. Pray this in your name. Amen.